This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back at the Angler by the Sea. We are here until 6 o'clock. It's a fantastic place. It feels like we're sitting in a yacht right now as we are doing the show. Bobby D is here, Ultimate Football Guy, our first opportunity to do a full show with him. And, Bobby D, let's take a look at the defensive side of the football. They lost Clowney up front. They lost Patrick Queen. We've been talking on the show a lot that we think they feel – scheme matters over personnel, that despite these losses, they'll be fine.
And they lost coaches, obviously.
Yeah, yes,
as
they
well.
Did. Yeah. Do you feel like do you buy what we think they're selling?
Well, I mean, I've said before in the past, the defensive coordinator is really John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Okay. And so he's the guy, he's a defensive coach. When I work with him, you know, he was special teams and he went to become the secondary coach, so and safeties. And so he's a defensive guy. So he's got his own little conveyor belt.
Okay. Yeah.
He produces these guys. But they're Zach Rohr, he's got some big shoes to fill. I mean, you know, you talk about Mike McDonald. I mean, he's the boy wonder. He deserved to be that head coach. I said last year all season, you know, this guy is legit. Okay. Just his demeanor, his approach to the game, his play calling, combination, a lot of things. And he trained for it. And Zach's in the same boat.
Yep.
And one thing about Zach, you know, he coached linebackers, so he's got the run game and he's got the, you know, the coverage. Okay, so he's going to have experience at both of those. Okay, you got a situation where let's start off with Patrick Queen. Okay, and you know, watching Trenton Simpson, I saw him play last year at the end of the season, you know, when they had the that last game of the year, he went in there and really was impressed with him. Then I saw him in college. He's exceeded my expectations, mm-hmm. Okay, from what I saw in college. Then I start hearing about his dad was an Army Ranger, so it's all starting to fall together for him. I think what's going to happen is, based off what I saw the other night, I think he's going to be better than Patrick Queen.
Wow.
Without a question. I mean, he's an upgrade
this
of
year?
Patrick Queen this year.
Wow.
I mean, how many plays did he make the other night? You talk about Nate Wiggins. The other guy that showed up was Trenton Simpson. Okay, so I feel, and he doesn't even have Roquan on the field with him, still making the play. So it only gets better.
Right, wearing the dot himself.
Yeah.
I just want to point out Patrick Queen was a second team All Pro a year ago.
You know, Roquan has an impact on a lot of people.
Yes.
Okay, and I like Patrick. You know, like I said, I had to evaluate him. I had to write him up, put a grade on him. I like him. Pittsburgh signed the guy, gave him big money. He deserved it. But Trenton Simpson has just got out there. He's making more plays than I've seen out of that spot. And he doesn't have Roquan on the field. Roquan was on the field with Patrick Queen, and that's what made the big turn. So I don't feel like I'm going out on a limb.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing we've been wondering about is how they would deploy people. They keep loading, right? They bring in Eddie Jackson recently. Like, they want to be as deep as they can in the secondary, and we'll get specifically to the secondary in the next segment. But last year, those two linebackers were on the field for almost 100% of the snaps. Like, they never wanted to take Roquan or Queen off the field, regardless of situation. You think Trenton Simpson starts there? Or do you think because you have three safeties you trust and, you know, you've got corners and you've got other hybrid defenders that maybe he's not on the field in sub-packages enough? Or are you already convinced he's a staple?
I think he just, like I said, I think he's an upgrade on Patrick Queen.
Right, okay. You
know, that's a... You know, big shoes to fill because of the accolades he got at the end of the year. But based off his movement skills, the way he plays with his hands, gets off blocks, makes tackles, we'll see where he is in man coverage. You know, that was the big knock.
Well, that's
Patrick
what I'm sort of
so
alluding to.
I think there's an upgrade there with coverage. If not, they have enough safeties right now. They got a lot of people in the secondary. And like you said, we'll get to it later, that they can play some dime, okay? It could potentially even be Marlon playing in there, mm-hmm. okay, down the road with a dime package look. Somebody that can cover a running back. I don't know if he can, but that would be the guy I would be looking at because he's so physical and he's big. But, you know, when I look at the linebackers, I don't think they really, you know, it's a big drop-off after Trenton Simpson. You know,
sure.
The next guy for me, you know, is number 51. Josh Ross. Okay, the kid, he's been on the practice squad the last 2 years, the kid out of Michigan. Makes a lot of plays. Every year, I think this kid's worked his way onto the lineup, and then they cut him, or he gets hurt, and he goes on the practice squad. But he made a lot of plays. They brought back Chris Ward. So I think now we start talking about special teams players
right.
as opposed to what they can do at linebacker. You know, the guy that caught my eye is Joe Evans. It's number 48.
Yeah.
They kind of played at Iowa. The guy that's in trouble is Malik Harrison because
okay.
he does the same things that Malik does because, you know, they have played outside linebacker. They haven't played him as an edge guy. He's a better pass rusher than Malik.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a battle to keep an eye on for that fourth or fifth linebacker spot. So when you get down to the defensive line, we talked about the edge rushers. Okay, maybe that's the question that you had next.
Yeah, Bobby, Owe. And now he's entering year four. They picked up his fifth-year option, and we keep waiting to see it. I mean, he's been a very solid player for them, and Eric DaCosta, the Ravens, they pointed to the analytics about the pass rush win rate, and he's getting close but not getting the sacks. Is this the year for you, for Owe, to finally take that leap?
Yeah, I agree with Eric. Okay, because, you know, I look at the pressure rate.
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't equate to hits on the quarterback.
Right.
It doesn't equate to the sacks. Clowney had a big pressure
yeah.
rate last year. I remember I did an interview with ESPN before the 49ers game, and I brought it up to her. I said, hey, check out this pressure rate. I think he's got an all-time high. And she called me back, and he does. So that pressure rate is something that is unseen. You know what I mean? Only the advanced analytic people see it. You don't see it out there in the public eye. So, although ESPN did put it on there. But Owe stepped up last year. I'm comfortable with Owe. He made plays last year. Mm-hmm. I think he's meeting the expectations that they originally had. It took him a little while
yeah.
for me to come around. It took me a little while for Patrick Queen to come around.
Yeah.
But there's a pattern here. You got to be patient.
Yeah.
You got to let these guys develop. And Owe, you know, once he gets out there, I feel very comfortable with him. You know, you re-signed Van Noy. He had, you know, multiple sacks, multiple pressure
nine
rates
sacks,
also.
Yeah.
So that was big. You're not – Clowney had one of those years. You
yeah.
know what I mean? They did. He played so well, he played himself out of ball.
Yeah.
Game, you know what I mean? That's kind of what happened there. And that was just a special year for him. And, you know, he exceeded anything that he ever did anywhere else. Okay? So they had to replace him. The guy to keep an eye on is Adisa Isaac out of Penn State.
Yeah.
I did some college tape on him. Hey, he can rush the passer. And he's got the numbers, unlike Owe coming out.
Right.
I'd like to see a little more bulk. I think he was dealing with a hamstring. So he's a guy. Let's put it this way. This is the best the edge rushers have looked in about 3 or 4 years as a group at this point in the season. Last year, Clowney wasn't signed until, I looked it up, he wasn't signed until August 17th. So, and then the year before, they cut to two edge rushers. They've
right.
got five guys here. So this is like the community village that's going to do it. And they're a pressure team with the blitzes and stuff. I think they have enough on the edge. Clowney was, played himself out of here. There's nothing you can do about that. I mean, that's a high first-round pick that, you know, that they don't have right now. Okay? They're picking low because of who they are.
We haven't talked about the elephant in the room, David Ajabo. And we kind of felt like he's a guy who probably needed these games more than most, and then we come to find out he's not even cleared to play in these games yet. He had a hell of a time defending the run in the preseason last year. How much of a concern is it that they only play three of these now and he didn't play in one, and I don't know if he's going to play Saturday?
Well, you know, he's coming off the knee.
Yeah.
Okay, and those things take time. They're setbacks. He's not cleared. I think I heard John
yeah.
say that he's
yeah.
not
yeah.
cleared.
Yeah.
So that tells you what you need to know. So he's not in the mix right now. That's where Adisa Isaac's got to come in and replace him right now. I'm looking at Van Noy. I'm looking at Adisa. Okay, you got Tavius Robinson. Not a lot of people talk about him. Right now, he's my third best guy on my board.
Okay,
this guy played. Okay, you want to talk about a guy stepping up and meeting the challenge? Watch number 95 as this preseason unfolds. I think he can move right into the starting lineup if Ojabo doesn't come around. Because, you know, Van Noy's a guy you want to mix and match.
Yeah.
You don't want him to be out there all the time.
Yeah,
he's on a pitch count. So I'm expecting 95 to be that guy. You know, last year they used Malik Harrison, you know, out there at times as a supplement. But this guy plays with his hands, gets off blocks. He's got size. Guys, I mean, you have to just watch the tape to see what I'm seeing right now.
Bobby D, before we step out, there's a couple of people you want to give shout-outs to.
Okay, hey, Bobby DePaul Charity is a proud supporter of the Walking with Anthony Foundation, a charity organization on a mission to provide help to kids who struggle from unexpected hardships. Together, this team is committed in giving back while helping deliver financial aid assistance or equipment to those in need. If you'd like to help me help some kids, please go online to www.walkingwithanthony.org or make a donation. Or if you want to make a direct donation, you can hit my Venmo charity link. It's Venmo at Bobby DePaul Charities. And thanks again for all your support.
That's Bobby DePaul. We are live here at the Angler by the Sea here in Ocean City. When we come back, we will continue talking defense, and we'll take a look on that back end. It seems really deep. Does Bobby DePaul like what he sees? He's going to tell you next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back at the Angler by the Sea. It is happy hour with Bobby DePaul. And Bobby D, put your headset back on as he joins us.
You're back to work, brother.
Hey, that was a short time. He is a football savant, a Hall of Famer. And we want to talk about the Ravens secondary. And we think it's deep. They drafted a couple. TJ Tampa back at practice today. You talked earlier, you were impressed with Nate Wiggins before he got hurt. What do you think of this secondary?
Love the secondary, okay? We saw Nate Wiggins just dominate, make more plays Friday night than we saw Marlon Humphrey make all of last year. And that's not to ding Marlon. Marlon just needs to stay healthy and make plays. He's making a lot of money, okay? He's got to deliver for the secondary to be, what they need to be successful. Saying that, the one guy that I want to go to is their seventh-round draft choice, okay? This Sanusi kid.
Yeah.
Kane, from Purdue.
Yeah.
This guy is a find, okay? You talk about a seventh-round player. They lose Geno Stone, and, you know, he's starting for Cincinnati right now, and, you know, a lot of people are worried about him. But you want to talk about a special teams guy, a guy that can make tackles, +5 wingspan differential. You've heard me talk about it all the time. He played just, you know, he in terms of exceeding the expectations. You know, Wiggins was a low first-rouner, played like a top-10 corner. Okay, this guy played like a third-round safety. Fourth-round, you know, where do you usually get a safety? Third, fourth round?
Right.
I heard Rob Woodson, you know, he went to Purdue. He's like, you know, got the Purdue Boilermaker flag flying. But this guy, I see him in the mix, and I think he can play nickel. Okay, so here's another nickel guy potential, okay, which adds depth there. You know, Pepe Williams. Here's a guy that's been banged up, right? He played aggressive.
Yeah.
And he's got punt return skills. That's going to come into play because they're going to need spots. They got a lot. The Ravens have a lot of guys in the secondary they're going to need to find places for. So, the Ravens need somebody to be the punt returner that can play another spot. Okay? And that's where Pepe, you know, that's why they got him back there. You know, you talk about Deontay Hardy, the kid they brought in. I mean, he's really one-dimensional. He doesn't really help him as a receiver. He takes a spot. You want to replace that guy, and you might be able to get it with Pepe, you know, just looking at him.
He looked like Arthur Millette on the slot blitz there.
Well, I mean, he's a football player. He's aggressive. He's, you know, that's what you look for. That's what they thought he would be. He just needs to stay healthy. He just hasn't done it because he hasn't been on the field. But I look at him. I look at him at nickel. Arthur Merlett's injured. This other kid is college free agent. Same with the nickel. Bump Cooper. He's a football player. He's a college free agent. So he's going to go in the practice squad. He's got a lot of promise. You want to talk about Eddie Jackson? This guy in 2019 was in the Pro Bowl. Okay? He another Alabama kid. He's got talent. I think he's like the fourth or fifth safety, so that tells you how deep
wow.
they are. They got to find spots. Okay? Worley right now is the odd man out. He's at number six. Okay? You talk about... Let's go. Try to see. We got... Jalen Armour Davis, number five, playing corner. Another guy has been hurt. Good length. Made tackles. Hit his landmarks. The biggest difference between the Ravens 3 years ago opposed to last year and what I'm seeing this year, and it's a credit to Zach Orr because they changed over a lot of
yeah.
coaches. They're hitting their landmarks. They're breaking on the ball. You know, they didn't give up big plays.
Yeah.
Right? So that's who they are, a team that doesn't give up big plays. They're opportunistic. They go after the ball. They keep everything in front of them. They don't beat themselves. That was the thing with Wink Martindale. They were always beating themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
The trend is your friend, okay, as they say on Wall Street, right? These guys are not beating themselves. Is it scheme over the coaching? You know, I think the players have a lot to do with it. I'm a personnel guy, so I'm going to lean towards that. But we got all these new coaches, and they seem to be doing what they were doing before. So that's a big positive.
Bobby, I think one of the big X factors for this secondary is the health of Marcus Williams, where his time in New Orleans didn't miss any games, back-to-back years, serious injury. If he can stay healthy, I mean, could this secondary be even better than it was last year?
Well, they have everybody back, and they've added guys.
Yeah, Wiggins,
right?
Yeah.
They lost Darby, they got Wiggins. Wiggins, better than Darby right now. The way I'm looking at it, okay, as long as he stays healthy. But Darby had problems staying healthy, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to have a little luck on your side. You know, Marcus Williams, you got Eddie Jackson right there, who's just got to play himself into shape. He's got to earn it. You know, nobody's going to hand it to him. But this guy was in the Pro Bowl in 2019. That doesn't mean that's who he is. I think he's really brought in as an emergency and wait and see how things. But Kane is a football player. I feel like he could go right in there and play.
Wow.
I mean, that's what I see. I saw it in college when I was watching the college tape. I watched it in college, and I'm seeing it happen right away in the first preseason game. That doesn't happen. I mean, we got veterans out there struggling to just do something.
Right.
These guys are stepping in. That's a credit to Eric DaCosta and the college scouts. They're hitting on a lot of guys, and they need them to hit on them. Because they got the cap situation with Lamar. It's falling into place for them. And like I said, the edge rushers are better than they've ever been. The defensive tackles, you got Travis Jones developing. You got Trenton Stimson coming in there. I've already said he can upgrade on Patrick Queen. I know it's hard to believe, but it's on tape. You know, oh, Bobby Beathard told me when I first got hired at Redskins, I said, how do you scout? He said, just watch what you see. You know, just write what you see. All I'm doing is telling you what I see on tape. Now, it takes a set of eyes to see it, right? But it's happening, and it's going right through to the secondary, and there's a lot. They've probably got 11, 12 guys right now.
Real quick before you put a bow on this, and we'll go through Bobby's impressions of the Ravens draft in the next segment. But Brandon Stevens, how imperative is it to try to get him done, or are we looking at a franchise tag next year with the way that the market has exploded for wide receivers and therefore corners, and this guy in his walk year, I don't know that he's inclined to do something now this late in the game.
I keep looking at Marlon Humphrey's money.
Yeah.
You know, and I you know, that they're just tied into that one because you really want to just switch those guys out.
Yes.
They can get out of that deal next year, though.
Then that's probably something that will be looked at. I mean, Marlon's got to play. I mean, you know, I've always said expectations, where you picked and how much you pay. At some point, you got to deliver the baby, okay? We're all Ravens fans right now. This is my fifth year looking at them, and I'm still waiting for that guy to make that money, you know, to earn that money. And I don't want to beat him up because I do think he's a good football player. I just want to see him do it week in and week out and be more consistent. I mean, when you got a rookie coming in who's made more plays in one game than we saw all last year on a guy, you got problems. And now you got Brandon Stevens, who's developed. He's tough. He's durable. He makes plays. He's starting to make plays. That
yes.
was his big knock, not making them plays on the ball. He's doing that now. So that's a decision for the future, but
yeah.
that's what you got to look at.
Bobby DePaul giving you the knowledge. It's Inside Access. We're live at the Angler by the Sea here in Ocean City. When we come back, he's touched on some of these guys throughout the show, but it's our first opportunity to get an in-depth look at what Bobby D thought of the Ravens draft class. He'll tell you what he thought next here on The Fan. This is the moment that a lot of people have been waiting for. Usually we get Bobby D, we twist his arm, and after the draft, we give him a little bit of time, and he gives you his thoughts on how the Ravens did in said draft. Well, this time there was no amount of arm twisting that could get Bobby D on to talk about the draft. So we waited till today, and Bobby DePaul, the Ravens, they had 9 draft picks. You've had a lot of time to sort of ruminate over this. How do you think the Ravens did in the draft?
I think when you're a pro evaluator, the number one thing you want to do is get the expectations right. Once you get those expectations right, then you can see if a kid meets, exceeds that expectations, or he doesn't. Because that has a lot of impact on the assistant coaches, which I was once for about 8 years, okay? So just in review, we all saw, you know, the first-round pick, Nate Wiggins, Clemson. I mentioned today that, you know, what you saw Friday night is exactly what I saw on tape. You know, at Clemson, I mean, if you watch the South Carolina game, he had 2 submarine tackles and knocked 2 guys out from South Carolina Gamecocks in back-to-back plays. So he may be thin, but, you know, he's fearless. We saw the cover skills. I mean, all you got to do is ask Devontae Walker from North Carolina. I watched that game when I was watching Walker.
Yeah.
Okay. So he kind of, you know, took him out, and he's a vertical speed receiver, and he had no problem covering him. And he's only 20 years old. Okay. So keep that in mind. The only knock I had on him is that, you know, he doesn't, you know, I've talked about the wingspan differential over the years, and he's got a +1 wingspan differential, and that's his, you know, tackling ability. And we talked about how you know that shows up in the NBA, and we got it from them, and how it has balance. And so maybe that's the reason why he uses that shoulder tackle, because he struggles to break down and make tackles when he wraps up. And so he's susceptible to injuries. There it is right in my report there. I'm looking at it right now. So hopefully he just stays healthy, and he just has to pick his spots. He's got to start playing smart. It's preseason. You don't got to kill anybody.
Right.
It's not, the game's not on the line. The Super Bowl's not on the line. So, you know, I'm sure they'll coach him up this week and back him off a little. Second-round pick, we're talking about Roger Rosengarten, Washington. There's a reason why Michael Penix had that pocket to throw from and play for the national championship, because they had bookend tackles.
Yeah.
Okay? This guy's nasty, tough, great athlete, instincts, football player. He's not great at any one thing in the run or in pass pro, but he's solid at both. It's a combination of the two, and that's kind of what you're looking for. This guy should be playing. He'll probably start over McCarry, no problem, and you know, probably play for the next 8 years. So that's another big pick. Credit to the scouts. Third-round pick, edge rusher from Penn State, Adisa Isaac. You know, a lot of people are down on Penn State players.
Yeah.
Finally, we get a guy that actually had production, okay, coming in, and he's got the length. You know, you'd like to have more bulk size. I mean, he's only 250 pounds, but he's got the length, made plays. He gets off blocks. I think he's going to be right in the mix. He just got to get out there. He had a hamstring. He was a 2-year starter.
Does he remind you of anyone? Do you have a comp for him or anybody who Isaac kind of could become if everything comes together?
He's a poor man's Clowney.
Okay.
You got length. You got speed, you got hand development, right? That's what Clowney had. Now, he's not Clowney.
Sure.
Okay? It's not, that's a play with that strength.
Clowney,
you know,
Clowney
had
one.
That natural strength, you know what I mean? But you're looking for pass rushers, okay? He's an edge guy. Third-round pick. He's meeting and exceeding the expectations. From, you know, I think he's going to exceed these expectations. You got to remember, there was a lot of offensive players picked early in the draft that pushed a lot of defensive players down.
Yes.
So We're seeing it right here in the Ravens draft. Nate Wiggins probably should have been higher. Okay, here's another guy. Adisa Isaac probably should have gone in the second round. But because the offense had such a run, it pushed everybody down. So the Ravens capitalized on it. That's a credit to their scouting department. Okay, the next guy is Devontae Walker. I just mentioned him, you know, watching against Wiggins. What he is, he's got length. He's got straight line speed. Okay, he's an outside the numbers, mm-hmm. down the field, deep ball receiver. And then he has a little change-up shallow cross. He's not a route runner per se where he can stick his foot in the ground and make those quick cuts. He's got length. And, you know, this is where Lamar's got to get better on the deep ball,
yeah.
because this is what he does. So if you want him to excel, you got to get him the ball so he can catch it. But that's who he is.
And you had me look this up, Bobby, before. I want to make sure we give it here. Last year, Lamar, on balls that traveled 25 yards or more in the air, was just 16th in passer rating, 81.8. A few ticks above Kenny Pickett. So, obviously room for improvement.
The number one thing Lamar has to improve on from last year to this year was a deep ball. I've said all along, put a trash can down at the goal line, 25 yards deep, and just start throwing the ball in practice and get that high arc and let it drop. That nose of the ball has got to come down. It's an NBA three-point shot. Mm. That's the type of angle
arc.
That you're
yeah.
looking at.
And Bobby, a lot of it, and Jonas Schaefer, our buddy who works for the Banner, he dissected every single deep ball Lamar to Rashad Bateman, and it was substantially worse than those numbers. I mean, is part of that just the lack of practice by Bateman, not getting on the same page? I mean, what is that disconnect?
It's probably a combination of the two.
Yeah.
But Lamar's numbers are Lamar's numbers, right? That's what he has to improve on. He's a talented athlete. Practice makes perfect. Get out there after practice, before practice, work on that deep ball touch. I've seen guys improve. He'll improve. He just needs to get out there and do it. I'm hoping, you know, that he did it all off season. We're going to find out, because the one thing about analytics is you got numbers.
Bobby, before we step out, I do want to get your thoughts on TJ Tampa, who just got back to practice today. He had a hernia surgery.
Look, plus six wingspan differential. When I was watching him, he wore jersey number two. I'm thinking Tampa two, front zone player. But I saw him cover.
Yeah.
He's got talent. He's one of the. He's another guy. It's going to be in the mix. I said it earlier in the show. Ravens got about 12 guys in the secondary. This is going to be a tough cut. For the Ravens, they got to find spots to keep all these guys.
Might have to make a few trades, Bobby.
Yeah.
Maybe. And there are some deficiencies. As glowing as you've been, there are some deficiencies in areas Bobby, with his evaluator hat on, thinks they can upgrade.
We'll
so you
come on,
listen at 5:30.
Yeah.
He'll tell you where they need to get better. Maybe they could trade some depth corners for something.
Coming up next, though, Bobby D takes a look at the AFC North, a very special edition of Northern Exposure. How's he stacking this division? You'll have to tune in next to find out. So this might end up being two segments because Bobby D has a lot of info on this division. But let's start, Bobby D, with the Cincinnati Bengals, who finished in last place a year ago in large part because Joe Burrow got hurt. What do you think about the Bengals heading into this season?
Well, you guys picked them to be done first, so I hate to tell you this. Cincinnati Bengals got a chance. They're so good, in my opinion, coming in on paper. It's all on paper. I actually would recommend somebody taking a shot at these guys winning the Super Bowl this year, okay? Joe Burrow is back. Yeah, they lost Brian Callahan, their offensive coordinator, but we all know Zach Taylor's are calling the plays. Of course, they got a great backup. We saw him last year.
Jake Browning.
Yeah. Offensive
beautiful girlfriend.
Line. Hey, look, they have Orlando Brown at left tackle. They went and they got Mims from Georgia in the first round, got rid of Jonah Williams, who I thought was their weak link. I mean, you want to talk about – I coached there for 3 years. Mike Brown and his staff, and I've said this year after year, these guys know how to evaluate talent, and they solve problems. And that's what we're talking about. One of the – you know, they have four starters coming back. They had a hole. They got a first-round pick. They slide them in there. They went out and tied in. Last year I kept saying, you know, they lost Hayden Hurst. They didn't have that vertical threat.
Yes.
What do? They go and sign Mike Gillespie, another Penn State kid, a vertical threat. He was at Miami.
Yeah.
And they came off.
Yes.
And they re-signed Tanner Hudson, the guy that was kind of I talked about how him and how he was the guy, and they started using him. Started, right after I brought him up, all of a sudden he gets 10 balls in the game. So they re-signed him. So they got two guys right there, no different than Likely and Andrews. Okay, they also drafted a tight end from Iowa, Eric Aul, in the fourth round. So they fixed that problem. Running back, they got rid of Joe Mixon. They traded him, and they signed Zach Morris, who had a great year last year for Indianapolis. Chase Brown, player. Okay, they had picked him up last year. He played a lot last year, so solid at running back. And I work with this running back coach who was there for like 30 years, Jim Anderson. Somehow I feel like he's in the background in Mike Brown's ear still, even though he's out of the business. That's how Mike Brown operates. I mean, they've really done a great job. So your offensive line solid, tight end solid, fix that vertical threat, gives them another weapon, running back.
What about defense, though, Bobby?
But you got T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, the top tandem in football.
Yeah.
Scoring points. I just have flashes of a couple of years ago where the Ravens couldn't stop him, remember? Okay? So they solved all kinds of problems. You want to go to Lou Anarumo?
We love Lou Anarumo, but they didn't have horses last year. Okay. The back end was terrible.
Let me tell you something. What do they do? Okay, they lose DJ Reader, right, in the injury. They let him go to Detroit. They pick up Sheldon Rankins from Houston, three technique. Chris Jenkins, good council kid, okay, from over here from Maryland, played at Michigan. This guy came on at the end. I mean, you want to talk about
the D-tackles.
I do the defensive tackles. And, I looked at him coming out of high school. He put on 60 pounds at Michigan, okay? So there you go. You got Chris Jenkins, Sheldon Rankins. I mean, then that goes with B.J. Hill. So you have three techniques.
Yeah.
Who's got that?
Nobody.
Right? So then you talk about Trey Henderson. Now, Sam Hubbard is going to be replaced this year by Miles Murphy. That guy ended up picking up steam last year. I think I talked about him last year.
Yes.
First or second round pick player. Okay. So you got a very formidable front four. They got Logan Wilson, the two linebackers coming back. You go to the secondary, Geno Stone, and they went and re-signed Von Bell.
Yeah.
So they beefed that up with intelligence. So they went strong right down the middle. Defensive tackle,
spine,
safety, and they got smart guys. They took Dax Hill, who I really like. Yeah. Guess where he's playing now?
Corner.
Okay, so that just gives you the idea of what they're doing there. So you got DJ Turner, Cam Taylor-Britt, and Dax Hill. I mean, you got a solid secondary. This defense is going to be as strong on paper, as good as I've seen.
Bobby, how do you expect Geno Stone to follow up what he did last year?
He just needs to play smart and be a ball hawk. That's why they signed him. And there's no reason why he drops off. He knows the division. He knows the quarterbacks. He should be able to just go right over there. It's like baseball, man. He's a first base. He's going to be a first baseman for free safety for them.
Okay, that's Cincinnati. What do you think of Cleveland? We'll save Pittsburgh for next segment.
We'll save the Nimbus. Okay, look, when I look at the Cleveland Browns, I got to start with Deshaun Watson. Okay, I'm just not a believer in Deshaun Watson, right? But, they got a new offensive coordinator. We know Kevin Stefanski's the guy, but they brought in Ken Dorsey, okay? They lost Bill Callahan, the top offensive line coach in football. You don't overcome something like that. But I know that the fans know this. Mike Vrabel showed up.
Yeah.
He's now a consultant.
Yeah.
He's working on the offensive side of the ball. I think they said he's working with the tight ends or something. So, they call him the human resource. He's got all the knowledge of the NFL. And he's an Ohio State Buckeye, so it's a really good fit for him. Glad to see him get that worked out. Look, if on paper, if the offensive line stays healthy, one of the better offensive lines in the National Football League. Okay, it's just and then they got DeJuan Jones, that huge 6'9" guy, now is a backup behind Jack. I think Jack will be the backup, and DeJuan Jones will be the starter. Young animal that Billy Callahan produced last year out of nowhere, and then they got Njoku, they got Akins back, Chubb. We don't know,
right?
But Jerome Ford filled in nicely last year, so you still got him. I think they're probably looking for another guy at running back. Amari Cooper, excel for him. Elijah Moore, the slot. Cedric Tillman, big physical guy, but they brought in, they traded for Jerry Jeudy. So we'll see if he can, Amari Cooper, Alabama guy, so, maybe that helps him. Cooper helps him because, Cooper was traded.
Yeah.
Right? So they're going to play off each other. I expect that Jerry Jeudy to get the best out of him this year, try and play for a contract. You go to the defensive side of the ball, one of the top defenses in football. You know, Mount St. Joe's graduate.
Jimmy Schwartz.
Jimmy Schwartz, Georgetown graduate. Yeah, I coached against him when he was a young kid in college. Miles Garrett, Za'Darius Smith, pretty good edge rushers, okay? They picked up a three technique, something that they haven't had. Ohio State, Mike Hall, three technique. You know, I looked at them like, oh, my gosh, they got exactly what the big upgrade for them. They're going to have something they haven't had. Think about it. This is the Cleveland Browns defense, and now they have something they haven't had.
Bobby, what do you make of just the insane home road splits from them last year, where they were one of the best defenses ever at home and a terrible defense away from home?
Well, I think quarterback play is involved in that. Are they playing from behind? Are they playing, you know, with the league? You know, that plays into defense, okay? And, you know, I think Jimmy's got to answer that question. I don't really look at numbers per se. I kind of look at the talent level.
Sure.
That shouldn't happen. But like I said, you know, when you got a quarterback situation where you're playing a different quarterback and they ended up signing Joe Flacco off the street, somehow the defense got better, right? So that kind of helped them. I mean, they got one of the best will linebackers, Arusha Koromura, best cover guy in football. So you're talking about a front seven, and then you add Mike Hall. Secondary-wise, they got everybody back. Denzel Ward, Greg Newsom, Martin Emerson, Thornhill, Del Pett. They re-signed them all. It's one of the top secondaries in the National Football League. Then they got a new kicker. So they finally saw – maybe they're planning on making a lot of field goals this year, but they got they signed.
But despite all that, if the quarterback isn't better than he was last year, is this a playoff team for you? Because Flacco's the one who got into the playoffs, not Deshaun Watson.
I'm not a believer in until he does it.
Yeah.
He's looked horrible.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, if he's going to do it, it's going to be it'll be this year. And I don't know what they do if he doesn't, because it's all guaranteed.
We're stuck with him.
It's insane. Worst trade in the history of the National Football League right now.
Coming up next, we have one team left to talk about in that division, the Pittsburgh Steelers. What does Bobby DePaul think of those Steelers? He's going to tell you next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.